the Lord. You know that you never really know what you're getting from a place until that day you miss going to that place. Then you realize, what do I do with my Friday? Praise the Lord. So you should never take the presence of God and the fellowship that we have here for granted. It's doing something to you. And what you don't know is that actually it's creating a hunger in you. And I always encourage people, the people who come to me and say, I always feel like life is not shifting. I feel like there's a stagnation. But if you ever want to know that you've moved, go back to the people you used to hang with and have a discussion. Have a discussion. Physically, you might look like you have not shifted, but you would realize how far you have come. Your mindset is totally different. And you see things first start in the spirit, then your mind changes, then things manifest physically. Praise the Lord. That's why the scripture that always encourages me, actually, a particular verse that says, "Thus far as the Lord brought me, Ebenezer, and furthermore will He take you." And that is something you should always remember, that don't just look at the physical to conclude that life is stagnant. You're not thinking the same way you used to. Now, we're going to go into some deep stuff, yeah? Praise the Lord. Because you're ready for those deep things, eh? Praise the living God. I realized, with my walk with God, I realized that darkness and light are forces. Darkness is a force, and light is a force. Every single day, those two forces pull you. Light is pulling and darkness is pulling. When you fall sick, there's a sense of darkness. It's pulling. Okay? When there's no money in your pocket, darkness is pulling. Okay? When you have just a coin, but you follow that leading to give, light is pulling. I don't know. So every day, those two forces are pulling you. The epitome of the pool of darkness is at the throne of Satan. So if you actually entered the spirit realm and went into hell, right to where the devil sits, because he has a seat, that's where the greatest pool of darkness is. The epitome of the pool of life and light is at the throne of God. And the moment you reach the very apex of the throne of God, there's no pool greater than that. Praise the Lord. So these two forces pull you every single day, and they pull you in different ways. Sometimes you've prayed for something and the contrary comes. And how you respond depends on which direction you're pulled. There are men as they walk with God. Please hear me carefully. There are men as they walk with God, men and women who have walked with God. They have learned to nurture and recognize the pull of light. So they get closer and closer and closer to that throne. Enoch was one of those men where scripture says he walked with God and was no more. And scripture says death could not find him. Now what scripture actually means there is that in your life, in every one of us, when we have a presence of God, when we sit down and fellowship, there are things you will transcend as you begin to understand the revelations of God. So there's a time you used to fall sick, now you don't. In that area, death can no longer find you. You get what I'm saying? Okay? So, pocket used to be empty, but now there's some particular amount of money. Eh? In that area, death can no longer find you. And I always tell people that I'm with that there's a place of miracle money, but miracle money is a lower level. Because if you need a miracle, that means at a certain point you lacked. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Okay? But there's a place above miracle money. A constant flow. Okay? A status quo. The same yesterday, today, and forever. That does not change. Now, let me start with a scripture, because some people are here for the first time. They say he hasn't yet quoted a scripture. So let me quote a scripture. Okay? What scripture do I quote so that I make you happy? Okay, we'll get there. But listen carefully to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Today is very, very crucial for you. There are things that the Lord has put upon my heart, and I had to request. I had to request the Lord to carry what was supposed to be done last Friday to today. Now, many people don't understand what that means. You just go and preach. No, that's not how it works. Eh? Because every day has its new grace. But what the Lord had for you last Friday was extremely crucial. I had to spend the entire week just saying, please. Okay? So, pay very, very close attention. Okay? All right. The world, the way it was created, it was physical and spiritual. Now, you guys know, if you've studied your Bible, you know that there are three heavens that are implied in Scripture. The first heaven, which is the sky, but is not limited to the sky, because there are heavenly places in the first heaven. Okay? The Bible, for those who don't know, the Bible talks about heavenly places. Eh? We're seated what? In heavenly places. Okay? So, there are heavenly places in the first heaven. So it's not just the sky. The second heaven begins with outer space, but is not limited to that, because there are heavenly places in the second heaven. Then the third heaven, which is the God realm, there are heavenly places there. Okay? In the second heaven, where we call what we call outer space, the heavenly places are so diverse, amongst which are planets. Okay, you just say amen, eh? Just say. Yeah. Amongst which are planets. And whether you believe it or not, and someday you will see, that the galaxy, as big as it is, there are planets. When men, you see, the thing is that when scientists have tried to look for alien life, quote unquote, they are using physical means to look for something that is spiritual. Okay, I'll leave that. Okay? So, if I went to Mars, stood there, physically I'll say there's nothing here. Okay. Another day. So, there are heavenly places in the second heaven. And the way the Lord created things is that He created places for men, ultimately, all of us here. If you understand who you truly are, and if you had a glimpse, and I pray the Lord will give you a glimpse of where, what is in store for you, you would approach life from a more confident perspective. Now, when Adam was created on earth, Adam was created as king of this earth, quote unquote. Alright? We don't see a revelation of the throne of God in Genesis. It's not there. From that time onwards, up to the time when Adam was kicked out of the garden, men begin to worship other gods. When they worship other gods, God was given the name that was generic, God. Okay? He was just God. As men began to worship other gods, what happened was that there were many gods, but God was attached a title above them. So, to Abraham he comes and he reveals El Shaddai, God Almighty, or the God Most High. Because there were others who were being labeled gods. Eh? Now, I was explaining to someone that in other cultures and other religions, no matter how many gods people have, somehow by default, each and every one of them has a god who's above those gods. Eh? Okay? So if you're going to Greek mythology, they had many gods, but they say Zeus is the king of the gods. The principle came from El Shaddai. Alright? Now, so God comes to Abraham, introduces himself as El Shaddai. Later in Genesis 22, he reveals himself as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Men, as they walked with God continuously, got different revelations of God, and the revelation that you got of God determined the next step or the next level that you went to. I cannot carry your revelation of God without having it. I don't know. Okay? Alright? I can claim it and believe on it, but until I'm entered into that revelation, I'm just saying things. So take for example, a person who believes God can heal and a person who has been healed. Those two are different. One carries the actual revelation that God is a healer. The other one is still believing, eh? Praise the Lord, eh? So men would walk with God continuously. The revelation of the throne room of God was a secret. Now, until we reach Exodus chapter 19. You with me so far? Let's go there now. Now I'm quoting the scripture. Eh? Exodus chapter 19 verse 16. Exodus 19 and verse 16. Very, very important you stick with me here. Now, God, this is before the law is given. The law is given in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. They're given in the next chapter. This is before all that. Moses had never climbed a mountain into the presence of God before all this. Okay? Now, here's what happens. God shows up, and the Bible says God tells Moses, prepare the people, I'm coming. And it says, and it came to pass on the third day, in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Now, this scripture says that when God showed up, it's describing the scene on the mountain. And it says that on the third day, in the morning, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet. That voice of the trumpet is actually not God's voice. By that time, if you read through scripture, these guys hadn't yet created trumpets. Not yet. God hadn't yet. Okay? Somehow, they're watching. I want you to see what's happening. They're watching a scene they've never seen. There's cloud, there's lightning. They can't see the mountain, but they hear a voice of a trumpet, which is not God's voice, because the next verse, read the next verse. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at nether part of the mount. Verse 18. And the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in what? And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. This is the presence of God coming down on a mountain. Next verse. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded, remember the voice? And waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. So we know that the trumpet wasn't God. Yes? Because God then answered by a voice. Alright? Now, the trumpet there was actually an angelic being. I'm getting there. Huh? So this is happening. Now, please understand that before this event, no man had ever had a scenario like that where God shows up in all his power. There's a cloud that covers. Now, if you read on, scripture says God tells Moses, because the people are trembling, they're cowards, and you don't blame them. God tells Moses, why don't you come up here? And that's the first time Moses goes up for 40 days and 40 nights. First time. He spends 40 days and 40 nights in that cloud. In the presence, all natural forces are stopped. You don't need to go to the toilet. Huh? You're not hungry. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Eh? 40 days, 40 nights, one place. You with me? Moses is there 40 days, 40 nights. All natural senses are suspended. And what is keeping him is the presence of the Lord. Now, I want to submit to you that, because later scripture says that when he comes down, his face is shining. Okay? I want to submit to you that whether you see it or not, when you enter a tangible presence of God, something happens to your body. Something happens to you. Do you know that, I have to touch this to make my point, that in scripture, giants, Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God had intercourse with daughters of men and gave birth to Nephilim, giants, who are hybrid. That hybrid today has changed. There are people, and I'm going to submit to you, the people on earth today, should I say it? There are people on earth, listen, There are people on earth today who look human, but they are not. I'll leave it there. They are leading nations. We'll leave it there. Okay, you're looking. Okay. Anyway, so they're hybrids. They're hybrids. They're people who are hybrids. Now, in the same way, you are a hybrid. Something happened to you that day you received Jesus as Lord and Savior. Scripture defining you says, you, the old has gone, you are a new creature. A new thing. Now you still look the same. You still, in some levels, act the same. But you're a hybrid. Huh? Okay, back to Moses. Because what I need you to understand is that he spent 40 days, 40 nights in that presence that came temporarily. But what actually happened is that the throne of God from heaven showed up on that mountain. And I'll prove it to you. It showed up, but it was not seen because it was shrouded by lightning, thunder, and clouds. Yes? The next time we see a throne in Scripture, the next time it's implied, Scripture says in Isaiah chapter 6, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, he sees the Lord seated upon the throne. And he says, and his glory, let's go there. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne. Now, I won't touch this, but it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also. There's something else he saw. We'll touch that some other day. The Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Yes? Simple scripture. Now, last week on Thursday night, about 2 a.m., I was doing a mixture of things. I had my laptop, I was listening to a sermon, and I was, at the same time I was praying in tongues, at the same time I would stop, read a scripture, at the same time I would stop, meditate. I was doing a mixture of things. I wasn't just, you know, I was doing my own stuff. Then I started to see, now this is about 2 a.m., 3 a.m., I started to see lights. Now, I've walked with God long enough in this period of time, by revelation, to know now that lights are no longer just lights. So, I put aside what I was doing and just began to dwell in the presence. And as it went towards about 4 a.m., I had no sleep. I just stayed there. Then there was an impartation that was put on me. I said, I felt it. I didn't hear a voice. It's like words imparted in your spirit. And said, put on this song. And so I went to my laptop and I played the song. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. You guys know that song? To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. Now, as that song began to play, the atmosphere in the room began to change. And there are times I feel like crying. You know, to see a grown man cry. In my room, in the sitting room, it's like a veil was torn. Now, I want you to understand what was happening. I want you to imagine like a cloth and it's torn. And I saw a throne. Now, I want to tell you, as a child of God, this was the first time since I got born again that something like that has ever happened. So I saw a throne from a distance. I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't feel anything. All I saw was a throne. The magnificence of that throne. There was light. There was light. Huh? wish I could describe it. Now, I saw it, but I couldn't see it clearly. So I began to pray in tongues. Began to pray. Because I didn't know if I had done something to cut the veil, you know? So I started thinking, no, you will not close. You're not closing on me now. You know? You are not closing on me now. This is my chance. And I just couldn't. It was more like it was translucent. So I couldn't see it clearly. And I squinted my eyes to try to see what was there. But I could feel a presence in the room. So all of a sudden, after some time, it slowly disappeared. I said, no, I have to bring you back. No, I'm not going to allow this. Eh? So I began to pray. And a song was playing in the background. To him who sits on... Now, the image came back, but it was still translucent. So in my spirit, I kept on telling God, please let me see it clearer. Please let me see it clearer. And for about 5 seconds, it cleared up. Now, I want to explain to you something. I learned something in that moment that I had never known, or had known it, but now it's no longer theory. When it cleared up for those 10 seconds, and I saw with clarity one who sits on the throne, my call became clear. Now, 10 seconds, at least it might have even been less. In that short moment of seeing clearly, there was a clarity in my call. And a voice was imparted in my spirit that said, you are a seer teacher. Now, hold on. And I thought that seer teacher means that I'm a teacher who prophesies. And the Lord said, when you teach, people see images. When you teach, people see images. You guys. So, I sat in the room. It disappeared, but I had a clarity. And then I realized that the throne that we see in the heavens is in us. And so when we see clearly, something in us becomes clear. Now, I'm teaching on something here, eh? Very important for you. I sat there thinking maybe it might show up again. Nothing. So I went to my bed. It was now around 4 a.m. And as I lay down to sleep, I saw it clearer than I'd ever seen it before. Much clearer. I stayed awake till morning. Actually, I couldn't sleep. Now, which brings me now to Isaiah, because I'm not speaking from something that I haven't seen. And it will really bring you to a place where you understand that you see. Okay, let's go step by step. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne. So Isaiah sees the Lord seated upon the throne. And he says, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I finally understand what that meant. Around the throne, if you got a cloth and you begin to wave it, other versions say, and his robe filled the temple. If you got a robe and just begin to, the waves it makes, around that throne, light flows from the throne. I wish I could explain it. It flows like that. And this is what Isaiah saw. And he saw it filling the temple. Okay? In verse 2, he says, above it stood the seraphim. So he's seeing seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. 2 covered his face, 2 he covered his feet, 2 he did fly. Now, before Moses is taken into a cloud, we know that when he was in that cloud, somehow he was taken into the heavenlies. Because scripture says in Hebrews chapter 8, that fashion this pattern, the tabernacle, after the pattern I showed you, not told you. Hebrews 8:5. Okay? Hebrews 8:5. Quick. It says, Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee on the mount. When he was on that mountain, he was showed things. Okay? So he had a heavenly experience. Comes back, builds a tabernacle. Outer court, inner court, holy of holies. He patterns it after what he's seen in the spirit realm. Now, Isaiah comes, sees the same throne. But Moses doesn't mention six-winged guys. Are you with me? He doesn't see all that. Eh? Okay? From the pattern of the tabernacle. He doesn't see all that. He's taken to the spirit, doesn't see it. Isaiah is taken, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. He doesn't even talk about lightning and thunder. He just sees a throne, sees someone seated on it. The next time we see a throne mentioned in scripture, the next time is Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9. Daniel is taken to the spirit. He sees. It says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. Isaiah didn't see that. Neither did Moses. And he says, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. He's describing things others have not seen. Then he says, like the pure wool, his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Verse 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. So he's seeing a stream coming forth from before him. Okay? And thousands upon thousands upon thousands ministered unto him. Isaiah doesn't see that. You guys with me? Yeah, I'm taking a while to get to my point, but we're getting there. Now, verse 13. Is it 13? I saw, this is Daniel speaking, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Verse 14. And it says, and there was given to him, to who? The Son of Man. Now, listen to what's happening here. Daniel is caught up in the spirit, sees who he calls the Ancient of Days. He sees a throne. He sees thousands upon thousands ministering. Then he sees one like the Son of Man, who is in fact Christ. And he says, nations were given unto him. Now what Daniel is seeing is what happened when Jesus resurrected and showed up at the throne. Hallelujah! Yes. Ah! He's seeing the future. You guys with me? Okay, even if you're not, it's okay. So, Daniel sees this. He sees Christ resurrected, shows up at the throne. The moment he shows up, this is what happens. Okay? Daniel sees that. The next time we see a throne is by a man called Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 1, Verse 26. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of sapphire stone. These other guys never saw that. Now I'm saying it, they're all seeing the same thing, but different ways. And he says, as the appearance of sapphire, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man. Above upon it. Next verse. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire around. You see, he's also seeing fire. And he says, about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upwards, and from the appearance of his loins even downwards, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness around about. Verse 28. And as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness around about. Now, with me so far? Huh? Go back to verse 19. Actually, verse 26.
You go and read it,
but this is what he says. And above the firmament that was over their heads. So he sees four living creatures. Okay? Daniel mentions a kind of them later. You read it, eh? Isaiah doesn't see four living creatures. Moses doesn't mention it. When he builds the tabernacle, he just puts two angels, cherubims, on the tabernacle. Okay? We know David was taken to the throne because he says, I saw the Lord say to my Lord, sit here on my right hand. Are you? So he's on earth, but he sees something in the spirit. Huh? And someone will say, witchcraft? No. So he sees into the spirit realm. Now, please understand. Remember that he's seeing four living creatures and they are carrying what he calls a firmament. And he says it's actually made of glass. And as he looks, this is Ezekiel. Ezekiel was not carried to the place. What happened was, in chapter 1, verse 1, actually it says he was standing by water somewhere and a vision came. That was my experience. I wasn't taken to the place. I saw. Now, if I could see and feel that impact, imagine a person taken to that throne. Just imagine it. Now, he sees creatures. He's seeing from down. Eh? He's having a vision, Ezekiel. He sees four living creatures carrying a glass firmament. And above the firmament, as he's explaining, he sees a throne on top of it. And he's seeing God, but from through a firmament. You with me? The next time we see a throne, John the Revelator is on the island of Patmos. And scripture says, a voice said, come up here. And he went, and scripture says he sees a throne. And beneath it was a sea of glass. Now, what Ezekiel saw from below, he sees. Are you with me? Okay, even if you don't. Now, okay? So, Revelations chapter 4 and verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings. Familiar? Moses saw that. And thunderings. Familiar? And voices. Familiar? And there were seven lamps. Now, thou, he starts seeing things no one else has seen. He talks about lampstands, talks about 24 elders. No one else was seeing those things. Now, hear what the Spirit wants to bring to you. Eh? You see, I understood that in the spirit world, especially in the Old Testament, whenever a person had an experience with God, they could only see what was implanted within them. Now, it's hard for me to explain this. Eh? The reason why John saw much more than everyone else is because the Spirit was within him and he saw through the Spirit's eyes. You read it, he adds everything else everyone else put and adds more. Now, John's experience is yours. Amen. Huh? John's experience is yours. I learned something, yeah? And these are a few things that I'm going to have to explain to the best of my capacity. That when you approach that throne where he sits, heavenly places are dimensions. They're different dimensions. Okay? But when you approach the throne of God, it's dimensionless. The throne of God is not in a dimension. All dimensions flow from it. Okay? Not only all dimensions, all life, everything is flowing. The energy that flows from there. Now, you see, many people are in a hurry to get results in life, eh? Which is okay. But the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. He didn't run ahead. And he didn't go behind. He walked with God. Take time to walk with God. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is very important. Because you see, amongst the 12 disciples, Peter was given the ministry. The whole church was put on him. The whole church. John, we see him putting his head on the bosom of Christ. Now, in the end, Peter is the foundation stone upon which the church is built, the revelation he had. But John is the one taken to the throne. I don't know what you get. Now, your relationship with God is that life growing you closer to the experience of that throne. Now, I have understood that at the throne of God, there is no time. When a person having walked with God stands there, and I'm not just talking about figuratively, I'm talking about literally, you can see all time before you. You guys. Because time is created. God lives in an uncreated realm. The Bible says, let us boldly approach the throne of grace that we might find mercy and grace to help us in time of need. Because of the blood, you can approach the throne, but please understand that there are certain areas of the throne room of God that men cannot go unless they're invited. That's right. Yeah? Okay. You just think, oh, me, I'm born again, Jesus, what? Man, you just don't. I'm telling you this I wish language could express it. Not, there are places you went with just your jokery. That's why this song, I can only imagine. Then he says, what will I do? Will I dance? You don't dance there. But that place is not for dancing, Sebu. Everyone who goes, their feet are shaking, they fall. There's nothing like, oh my God, I'm before the throne. Listen, because you're literally before an uncreated being. The same uncreated being who now put himself in you. You see, I understood that of all the beings, if you notice the experiences I've given, when these people are carried or they have an experience of a throne room, the first thing they see is the throne. Now, please understand, there are creatures with funny heads, what? 24 elders, what? Angels flying around. But you can't miss it. It is the very center of the universe. It is the focus. Now, hear what the Lord is saying. That there is a walk that you can have with God, the highest intimacy of which is to be at the very foot of his throne. You can desire to know your call. Well, what am I supposed to do? Dominion, amen, and indeed it's of God. But let me say this carefully, that God wants a Peter and John combined. He wants someone who is excellent in ministry and their call, but in relationship as well. Now I say this without quivering. If you're to fail, fail in ministry rather than relationship. Now I've said it. I'm telling you, if you're to live your life, you're called to be a fashion person and it has never kicked off. But you have a relationship with God, you'll rather fail. I'm telling you guys, you'll rather fail in your ministry and not in your relationship than the other way around. Because that's why we see men on earth. Someone can have a well-organized ministry, but no relationship with God. And I can assure you from the very depth of my heart, from what God has shown me, that the reward for someone who has walked with God, oh my God, to enter the heavenlies, because you see, things like ministries and calls, you are brought here for a reason and you get rewards for them. But to enter the heavenlies and be taken straight to that throne, while others, and please the way, others come, yes, you succeeded in ministry, but You didn't know him. And that's why you see the various revelations, because you see, you can have a revelation of him as El Shaddai, a revelation of, but the deepest revelation, Exodus chapter 6 verse 3. Moses is before God and God says, actually let's go there, Exodus 6 verse 3. He says, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. The name I am who I am. It was an all-encompassing name that he revealed to Moses. I'm telling you, you see that thing? You can't, even king can't express what you're seeing. And then you will realize how small you are in comparison. Then you'll appreciate the cost, the price, the Christ paid for you. Are you with me? Don't. I want to prophesy. Man of God, how do I prophesy? I'm lacking money, man of God. And from what I've found, when a person walks with God, there is almost like, you're safer. There's a saturation around you. When you lack, you don't know it. To others from the outside, you appear wealthy. Are you with me? Now, that's why you will find, when men have built a relationship with God, you will find a man can have 8,000 people waiting for him. And when God says, come, he says, you know what, you preach. Huh? He says, you preach. Me, I'm going. That is a relationship culture. That means ministry comes second to relationship. It comes second. Do you know Saul had that problem? In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 20. Take me there. 1 Samuel 15, verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, they've just told him what? The thing is lifting off you. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. And I've brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Verse 21. But the people took the spoil sheep and oxen and the chief of the things. So he's complaining, pushing the things to other people. Verse 22. Samuel said that the Lord does not delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices. Obeying the voice of the Lord is the most important. Yeah? Next verse. I'm looking for a particular one. Verse 25. Now this is Saul speaking. I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. 26. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. 27. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt and his mantle, and it rent. 28. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom away from you. 29. And the strength of Israel has also left. I'm looking, verse 30? I think it's 30. Then he said, this is Saul, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people. So Saul's heart was on ministry. It was on people. Don't embarrass me. They've just told you your relationship with God is cut. And you're saying, the biggest lie we've been told in this time and age is that your call is more important than your relationship. Now, please understand, I'm not saying don't pursue your call. The ideal is to have both. The day you pursue God with your heart, in your innocence, 5 minutes of praying in tongues, because God knows everybody's level, you will begin to realize that if you're taking a genuine effort to do certain things, to get to know him, slowly by slowly, who he is opens up to you, and who you are opens up to you. Yeah. think God doesn't know that you need rent? He knows. You think God doesn't know that you need a husband or a wife? He knows. You think God doesn't know that you received the prophecy that you're going to be a millionaire and it has delayed? And so you start, banange, I've pushed this thing, now here things are not. And so people become prophecy centric. You become prophecy centric. And you, if you are, man, you know, let me tell you, when I look at men of God who are doing feats, the thing that I desire most is their relationship with God. I want the Lord to say, come and I show you something. You understand? Not anything like, hey, I also want to see man of God in part. I want to see. I'm not seeing anything. I saw what? Huh? And so, when you're taken to a place where you've seen God who controls all things, from that place of the throne, the highest place of a relationship, which, by the way, the most intimate name revealed is not just I am, it's his Father. Dad. Now all creation calls him Father. But there is a link you have spirit to spirit with him. One day you will realize that all these things that you've been chasing, the husband, the wife, the what, they were hidden in the very bosom of the heart of God. Jesus says something. There are scriptures that mess me up. He said something. John chapter 3 verse 13. John chapter 3 verse 13. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. That's what Jesus says. But listen, he hadn't died yet. This is John chapter 3. And he's saying, no man has ascended except him who has descended. What is he talking about? He's actually talking about a revelation where a man on earth connects to what is in the spirit. He's talking about a seated in heavenly places, but the revelation had not yet come. You see, in scripture there are men in the past who actually got that revelation in Old Testament at various degrees. The Bible says Elijah shows up in 1 Kings 17 verse 1. It says, I'm Elijah that stands in the presence of the Lord. Now what he's talking about is that he knows where his spirit is. You with me? Right now he's in front of you, but he's standing in the very presence of the Lord. Elisha repeats the same statement. 2 Kings 3, I think it's 15. He says, I'm Elisha that stands in the presence of the Lord. So he gets the similar revelation. Gabriel appears to Mary, Luke 1:19, says, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of the Lord. You with me? But in John 1:18, Jesus says something. A totally new revelation. John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He's not just standing in the presence. He's in the bosom. Are you with me? So Elijah, Old Testament, Elisha, Old Testament, you can be standing all you want, but this is a new dispensation where men don't just stand, they're in the bosom. And so that's where you begin to understand that, you see, a man who has walked with God and has grown in intimacy with God begins to see things the way God sees them. Men who have actually been taken to that throne have a clear perspective of what's happening on earth because they are outside the earth realm. Everything you're looking at is from upwards downwards. Do you know why fallen angels? Fallen angels actually prefer to remain in high places. They send demons down this side. The reason is because they're not omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. They need to utilize resources. So what do you do? You need a high place so that you can see. You don't come down here, you can't see properly. You need to be in a high place. That's why Psalms 148, give me verse 1. Psalms 148, I'm coming to a close. 148. It says, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from where? Huh? He's saying, praise the Lord from the heavens. From there. When Jesus died, he opened a door more than you could ever imagine. To a place now, when he talks about the throne of grace, it says that you may find mercy and grace in time of need. But there is a place where a man transcends need. You're no longer just approaching a throne of grace and mercy. You're approaching a throne of the King. Many people want to sit on their thrones. It is impossible to sit on a throne and effect authority unless you've seen or experienced the actual throne. So before you say, what is my throne? How do I sit on it? First see one who sits on his. Are you getting what I'm saying? I learned, and I was explaining to someone, that when you see, scripture says that one like a man was seated on that throne. Do you know that every experience that is given in scripture, especially in Revelations, God is described like that, not because he's a man seated. God doesn't need to sit. You know that? In fact, to be God, the word need doesn't apply to him. It doesn't. You guys, I don't know if I'm doing. You see, so he's seated on a throne. All these guys are seeing him sitting. Okay? But it doesn't mean he has to. It's an impression that is created, an image that is given to a person who has an experience. But God is more than a figure. I don't know if you get it. He's more than just a figure. And the day you realize that, when you have an encounter with him, the day you realize that this is not just someone I was made, I have five fingers, he has five fingers, you will appreciate Christ, who condensed Godhead into man. Huh? You guys. I will never forget that experience. Because if I can be like that from having seen something from afar, imagine a person taken to the very throne. I understand now, a part of you dies. A part of you dies. Praise the Lord, eh? Praise the Lord, eh? Now, hear what the Spirit is saying. That you see, do you know that according to history, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus could have grown up with Jesus? So they were close friends. So imagine, from the time he's born, maybe from the time he's around 12, he has friends like these, grows up with them. He starts ministry at 30 years old. John shows up, is with him for 3.5 years, but his head is on his bosom. What are these chaps? What have they been doing? I don't even. Now the principle there is that this thing is about the person after the heart. It's not about who came first. It has nothing to do with about someone who came first. As you do it now, for him at least he has built his ministry. It's so big. Oh, he's prophesying. What? This one? Nothing to do with that. 3.5 years. A man who has just spent 3.5 years is in the bosom. And because of the natural relationship he's had, he's taken to the experience of that relationship. Walk with God. Walk with him. There is a place for man of God. I'm having this issue, just like I know some of you here, just here for prophecy. Huh? Which is okay. Some of you, just so I know, the moment I walk in, I feel them. Huh? Now, just like I know some people are here for prophecy. And the day you realize that the best gift you can get from me is teaching. Because nowadays everyone will prophesy. Eh? May you receive it in Jesus' name. Eh? No? And you begin to realize that even though there are many fivefolds, even though there are many teachers, God does not duplicate. And so the things that I'm teaching, the grace that is released, and the manner in which it's taught, you can only find it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Eh? He said, you are a seer teacher. When you teach, they will see images. And he said, they will be carried into those images. Praise the Lord. Eh? There's so many things I could say. So many. I'm not going to say. I say a few, eh? You know, as I saw, I realized why when I was seeing this image, I saw nothing else, eh? Just this being. Eh? Let me leave you a question. Ask yourself, why is there a sea of glass? What is it for? Why is there a sea of glass? Why? I mean, does God just like having just water in front of him? Well, it's not even, by the way, it's not even water. It's not even water. Why? Do you know that those beings that are there in front of the throne, you see each of them has a different glory. But it's not inherent. It's a reflection. But when Jesus comes, he says, you are the light. You have an inherent light. All these angels with their grandeur, with their appearance, it's not inherent. It's a reflection. That's why Lucifer was referred to as light bearer. He wasn't the light. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Then turns to you and says, you are the light. Now, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Who lights a candle? The Bible says the spirit of a man is a candle. I wish you could understand that you see all these things, all the things that you want in life are actually hidden in the relationship. They are. And that there is no time when you take off some time to, there's a lady, I was with someone yesterday. Actually, the people that I meet, and prayer has different versions. Lord, for me, you pissed me off. But you see, it takes a certain measure of faith to talk to God. Someone else is saying God doesn't exist. Huh? But you are angry enough and you have rebuilt a relationship enough to tell him you're angry with him. That's a deeper level than some other chap. Okay? I had a friend of mine, a lady. She had a daughter, and the daughter used to like going around partying, what? So, this person was pretty religious, but I envied the relationship she had with God. She would always go up and say, God, that's not my daughter. I was just a channel. That's yours. That's yours. You go talk to her. You go talk to her. And then the daughter, you know, when you built up a child, even in their misgivings, you built up a child to know that God can reach you. Then the child comes, Mom, I feel the spirit of the Lord is telling me not to. Now she told me that experience, and I envied the ability to tell God, you know what? This is my issue. What should I put on today? Huh? There's an example I won't give, but do you know that a person who, quote unquote, and I'm not Please understand the spirit I'm saying this in. That if you're having issues with something, lying, stealing, whatever, do you know, and let me mess you up, that if you go before God and say, you know what, God, that chick has messed me up, I'm just going to go anyway. And you go, and please understand, do you know that God reversed that relationship? Because even if you hadn't told him, he already knew. I don't get what I'm saying. Eh? That's why David is special. You mess up, but you just go and say, man, and things messed me up, man. And learn to build that relationship with God. Because I have found many people are looking for purpose, yet the foremost place is at the throne of God. Okay? Lastly, I'll say this, that you see, the closer you will get with God, you begin to realize that the way you are perceiving things was just with your own mind. And that person that you saw stealing a watch or robbing offertory or whatever, and then I say, man of God, now you wait. Surely, that person that you saw doing that stuff, men who have got to the bosom of God begins to see with his eyes. And so, there's a love that protrudes. And that's why I've found people, there's someone who had an issue with some people that I'm close with. And they came, they said, they told me that Rabbi, even Rabbi has an issue with you. Huh? And, Bambi, this person, the heart that the person had was, I can handle those guys. But the man of God, the thunder and lightning, you know? And I told the person that, you see, I don't view you the way they do. I also don't condemn them for viewing you that way, because it's their level. Okay? Be at peace. If you pursue the heart of God, there is nothing in this world that you cannot get. I have people who come to me asking me, how did you get the prophetic? I saw a man's relationship with God and I was jealous. I didn't see his prophecy. I didn't see his money. I saw the relationship. And it would keep me awake at night. I said, man, how is it that you can reveal? And you see, a person at the throne, God reveals the secrets of not only the earth, but the universe. Do you know, I learned that if I looked at someone right now with prophetic eyes, if I looked at someone and I said, Charlotte, if I looked at someone like that and I said a name, there's a place, and I went deeper. If I started to go deeper, there's a place I cannot go where God has put. The only place deeper to enter in is relationship. That's why some of you, some people, you think are men of God. You look, the guy is preaching right, he's doing right, what people are doing what, all over the world. But to get to a deeper level of what a person truly is, it takes relationship. So when another, that's why you see a gentle, a genuine man of God go to a place of someone you consider fools. Huh? And you're like, but this guy is a man of God. How is he going there? And a person can even be prophetic. But you see, there are depth of relationships where God now says, come and I show you. You will see all you want and you can't see it. You guys. Okay, let me do that. I've talked in parables a lot. Eh? But you will understand what I'm saying. Eh? That relationship thing, God reveals things. A person can be coming for fellowship, a minister, and He knows that there are spies, there are what, there are people planning things against him. And what will he do? He won't go, I need to see, he'll just chill. Because his relationship knows the Lord will say, no, stop. Come and I show you. So he'll sit in his car, come for fellowship. You think the entire time he's trying to navigate, keep track. When a person who sees all things is behind you and he can come to you anytime, you chill. Because you know nothing can happen to me. Seek the relationship.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.